We'd like to welcome Rabbi Goldberg, the rabbi of the Young Israel of Fort Lee, and a position he's been in since 2014. Prior to that, he was in Los Angeles, and he gives and continues to give a bunch of classes. Tonight, the shiur is being sponsored by some old congregants of his from L.A., our friends Brian and Ilana Lippman on the yard side of Brian's mother, Chaya Lippman, Chaya Bas Mendel HaKohen, and on the yard side of Ilana's father, Moshe Soloway, Moshe Ben Michael. And I will turn it over to you.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Thank you very much for having me. I know that this year usually takes place on Shabbos under normal circumstances. So everyone's had to be a bit creative in terms of finding mediums for Talmud Torah. So yashar koach to everybody who has pivoted to this Thursday night shiur. So thank you very much for inviting me to share some words of Torah. So today was Yom HaShoah, which of course is a very meaningful day for the Jewish people. And I wanted to discuss a topic that's related to Yom HaShoah, but through a halachic lens. And that is the perspective of whether or not we should be visiting Germany. And you'll see how this has a very halachic, a very significant halachic dimension to it. And then beyond the halachic dimension, there's also an important hashkafic lesson to be learned, in my opinion. So let me begin just by framing the conversation in terms of, you know, what our feelings are as it relates to going back to Germany. Just so you should know, I have two of my parents, my maternal grandparents, are both survivors of the war. My mother is an only child from my grandparents, and the Holocaust very much looms large in our family narrative. It's something that we grew up with, not stories per se, but just the idea of coming out of the ashes was very much part of my family narratives as we were growing up. So what I'm about to read for you, the quote from Menachem Begin, it really resonates with me. In 1981, on Holocaust Memorial Day, Begin welcomed about 30 philanthropists from America to the Knesset, and they had a discussion about the Holocaust. And one of the philanthropists, he asked Begin, you know, if our attitude should change toward Germany since it's been so many years since the Holocaust has already taken place. And I just want to read you a short quote from Begin's response. Begin looked at really all of the Americans and he said, "Every German I see of that generation, I think to myself, for all I know, that man murdered my father, my mother, and our little children. And when I speak of my father, I speak of all the fathers. And when I speak of my mother and of our little, and and when I speak of my mother, I speak of all the mothers. And when I speak of my little brother and my little cousins, I speak of all the little Jewish children, of all the Meishalas and Saralas and Yankalas and Rifkalas and all the Davidals and Layalas." So Begin went on to give a pretty sharp response to the question, Kidarko HaKodesh. So certainly the experience of the Jewish people in the Holocaust continues to linger as it rightfully should. So I do think it's an interesting question to consider. Are there any halachic ramifications to going back to Germany? And this is actually not a question that I created myself. There is a fascinating tshuva from Rav Meshulam Roth in Shelis and Shuvos Kol Mevaser, who was asked to weigh in on a policy that was formulated by a group of Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Meshulam Roth himself was born in Poland at the end of the 19th century. He came to Israel. He came after the war in 1949, and he became quickly understood. He was quickly understood to be a real Eloi. He was never a chief rabbi himself, but he was on an advisory role for many of the, not for many, but for some of the Israeli chief rabbis. So the question came to his desk based on a group of rabbis in Israel that wanted to put a cherem on traveling to Germany. So in this tshuva of the Kol Mevaser, he's dealing with whether or not it's a good idea for the Israeli rabbanim as a whole to endorse a travel ban on Germany. So I want to share with you the question, and then we'll try to tackle the answer from other Makoros, ultimately returning back to what Rav Mishulam Roth paskins. So I'm going to share my screen so you can look along with me at some of the Mar Makomos over here. We'll start in source number two. The first source is just that quote from a pagan, as is written down by Yehuda Avner, who had this marvelous ability to record history. So in source number two, Rav Mishulam Roth is writing this tshuva, and he writes as follows: "Be'inyan hachrazas cherem al kenisas Yehudim leGermania, regarding announcing or enacting a cherem, a ban, on any Jew to travel to Germany. Al davar shehutza bevi'idas rabbanim lahachris cherem mitam rabbanim aretz." To basically, what he means is the advice that was given, or the suggestion that was given by a group of rabbis in Israel, Shelepiv, according to their advice, Asur Yehiya L'chol Yehudi Lidroch Al Admas Germania. It would be prohibited for any Jew to travel to Germany. V'kama Rabbanim Hiskimu L'Hatza'a. And a number of rabbis in Israel agreed to this suggestion, this suggested cherem. So Rav Mishulam Roth in the 1950s was asked to weigh in on this issue. Is this something that the rabbanim should give their hastama to? Or is it something that the rabbanim should take a stance against? Now, if this was a different context and we were able to share a shear in person, I'd be curious to hear from everyone on this call, you know, what your opinion would be. I think it's not a straightforward matter. But the way to appreciate what Rav Mishulam Roth ultimately answers, we have to sort of take a step back and note that this is not the first cherem that was enacted in terms of where a Jew may and may not travel. Does anyone know offhand where else do we find restrictions on travel? Don't all jump in at once. You can just feel free to unmute your mic.
Spain,
excellent. I was hoping you'd say that. Moshe, excellent suggestion. Very, very good. We'll see, it's not so pushit, but good. There's another one that's perhaps even more obvious. So the answer is Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to go back to Egypt. So I'll just show you it's actually Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi reads as follows: Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Begimel Mekomos, Hu Saru Yisroel, Sholo Lashuv Eretz Mitzrayim. In three different places, the Jewish people are warned not to return back to Egypt. Shene Emar, so we have one pasuk in Shemos, ki asher re'isem es Mitzrayim hayom, lo sosifu lirosam ad olam. Moshe says, the Jews, don't worry. The way you see Egyptians today, you'll never see them again. Now, the truth is that pasuk is kind of taken out of context. It's not really a tzivoy, but okay. The Torah Sheva Peh interprets it as a iser. We can't see the Egyptians again. And then twice in Devarim, Hashem amar lachem lo sosifu mashuv baderech hazeod. Hashem has told us, don't go back to Egypt. And lastly, in the Tochacha, when Moshe is warning us of catastrophe, Moshe says, Hishivcha Hashem Mitzrayim ba'onios, that Hashem is going to return us back to Egypt in ships. And that was devastating. So the Rishami tells us in three different places, we are restricted from going back to Egypt. And by the way, this is not a gadita. This is codified in the Rambam. In Sefer HaMitzvos, in source number four, the Rambam writes, "V'hamitzvah hamem vav hi shehisharni mishkon be'eretz Mitzrayim." The 46th mitzvah lo saseh is not to live in Egypt. Le'olam, and it's a mitzvah that applies forever. Kedei shelo nilmad kfirasam v'shelo nilich bedarcheihem hamegunim itzal Torah. Hashem doesn't want us to mix with the Egyptians. Okay, so what's the big question here? The elephant in the room. Nurabosai, what's the elephant in the room?
It's not modern day.
That's true, Joel, but the Rambam himself. The Rambam lived in Fostak.
The Rambam went back.
Excellent, right? The Rambam lived in Fostak in Egypt for many years, for many, many years. So how did the Rambam write that it's usher to be in Egypt if he himself lived there for all of these years. So you have a number of Rishonim that grapple with this issue. So for example, the Smag, Sefer Mitzvos HaGadol, in source number 5, he asks the question, he says, Yesh Tema Al Kama Kihilos HaShochnim Chan. There are many communities that are established in Egypt. I mean, for those of you that learn Daf Yomi, you know about, if you come to Sekhas Sukkah, you know about the Beis Knesset HaGadol of Alexandria. In Alexandria, there was a gigantic synagogue. So the Smag is saying there are many communities that have established themselves in Egypt. The Gam, Rabbeinu Moshe, the Rabbi Maimon Holach Lasham, and the Rambam lived there. So the Smag answers, and this is Joel, what you might have been referring to, is that we know that Sanherib, who was the king of the Assyrians, forced relocation on many of the peoples in the lands that he controlled. So Chazal already tell us that Sanherib came and was Meval Belkola Umos. And as such, the Egyptians that originally lived in Egypt are no longer there. So when the Torah doesn't want us to go back to interact with the Egyptians, so they don't live there anyways. So that's the way the Smag deals with this issue. Rabbeinu Bachya, in his commentary on the Torah, he has a big chiddush. He says in source number 6, V'eina mitzvah ledoros. Nah, this isn't a mitzvah that is relevant for all generations. Sheyasur hakasav hadira b'mitzrayim lo'olam. No, the Torah never prohibited that we're never allowed to live in Egypt. Hare anu roim kama kihilos darosham me'azgarata. Many communities from then until now. Ve'ilu haisa mitzvah ledoros. And if this was something that was relevant for all generations, lo hayu yisroel kedoshim mikilim b'zela dorsham. We wouldn't have communities there. So it must be that the Torah, well, it talked about not going to Egypt and meant that generation. And lastly, the Radbaz, Rav David ben Zimri, one of the very late Mishonim, early Achronim, who himself lived in Egypt, he says, well, you know what the prohibition is in source number 7? V'yesh litein tam shelo asra Torah ela liyari lagorshan ulishtakeh. The only problem is if you go there to live, with, if your intention from the outset is to go and live, what about the Rambam? The Rambam lived there. So the Rabbah said, yes, the Ishlomar, the Anashaya, Alpiha Malchusla, he was forced. The Rambam was a well established physician, and he did not have the ability to leave. They wouldn't let him leave. He was too good at his malacha. So he was stuck beyond his control. So here you have a number of different possibilities, four in particular, that explain how it is that Jews are living in Egypt. Either like the Smag says, that Sancheriv came and removed all the true blood Egyptians, or like Rabbeinu Bachya says, that it was not an Isser Lidoros, or like the Radbaz says, that the prohibition is only to go and live there deliberately. And number four is it's beyond your control. All right, it's beyond your control. Fascinating suggestion is made by the Sefer Kaftor Baferach in source number 8, who is a Sefer from the Rishonim. And he reports something that is a mixture of folklore and fascination. He writes, Vishamati b'mitzrayim mipi harav Shmuel Zal, echa mibnei banav shel harambam. So this, the author of the Kaftor Baferach, says that he heard from the Rambam's grandson, Rabbi Shmuel, Shekesha Rambam Zal Haya Chosem Shemo Beigeres Shrucha, when the Rambam would send a letter, Haya Messiah HaKosev, he would say, I am Ramosha Ben Maimon, who writes this letter, Haover Bechol Yom Shlosha Lavim Ploni. I violate 3 transgressions every day. So the Rambam writes over here, that the Kaftor Baferach, I should say, reports that the Rambam's grandson says that when the Rambam signed letters, he says, I am Rambam Rav Moshe ben Maimon, who violates 3 lavin every day. And the 3 lavin would be a reference to that Yerushalmi, which talked about 3 different times the Torah tells us not to go back to Egypt. There is a problem, and the reason I say it's folklore is not because Chas HaShalom I doubt the Kaftor Baferach, but it's because we do have Kisvei Yad of the Rambam. We do have some of the Rambam's letters written in his own handwriting. And such a phrase is not found on the Rambam's letters, at least the ones that we have that are still extant. So it doesn't mean that he never signed that way, but it does mean from a historical perspective, we don't seem to have any record of the Rambam writing that he was in violation of free lavin every day. So this is point number one. Point number one is that the Torah itself provides a travel ban in terms of not going to Egypt, but we see that it's not really adhered to particularly well. Now we have to appreciate another travel ban, and that relates to what Moshe correctly said. Jews are not allowed to go to Spain. So there are not many cameras that are on right now, so I can't do a true poll of our illustrious audience. But how many of you have heard of such a prohibition that Jews should not travel to Spain? Yeah, okay, Jill, you're one of the few people with your video on. So I'm going to say that your hand up is representative of the entire Kehillah, all of Yilk, I'll assume. All of Yilk is aware of the fact that Jews should not travel to Spain. Now, this has long been a shmua, long been a rumor amongst the Jewish people that we should not be going to Spain. After 1492, when we were expelled, the Rabbanim of Spain, of Sepharad, put on a gezerah. They said no travel to Spain. So interestingly, fast forward about 500 years, someone writes a letter to the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. Just incidentally, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg was the potsik for Shari Tzedek Hospital and many, many, many critical tshuvos that relate to bioethics, Jewish medical issues. So went through the Tzitz Eliezer. How did he become the posek for Shari Tzedek Hospital? Just an interesting historical fact, the way their Gershom runs the world. So the answer to that question is that he has a shul down the block. And in the early times of Shari Tzedek Hospital, the doctors used to leave the hospital, walk down the block, and daven by the Tzitz Eliezer, by Rav Waldenberg. So they were there anyways. They realized the Rav was a Talmid Chacham. They started asking him questions. And after years of that happening, he became the default posik for Shari Tzedek. So it's just always interesting to see how the Ribono Shalom places everybody exactly where they need to be. So at some point in the 20th century, I don't know the exact date, someone writes a tshuva to the Tzitz Eliezer, and he says, I need to go to Spain for business. And I'm wondering what the Rav feels in terms of violating this cherem. Is it permitted? So the Tzitz Eliezer writes a tshuva back, which I'll show you in 2 minutes. And he says, it's interesting that you say that, but I disagree with the entire premise, or at least possibly disagree with the entire premise. Because you are assuming that traveling to Spain is usur. Let me show you from the tshuva, which you can see in source number 9. The question is asked in the first paragraph. In the second paragraph, the Tzitz Eliezer says, "Vihine." That's what you're taking so for granted. Regarding this prohibition. So he says, I'm not sure if it's really prohibited. What we know of is a rumor that has not ceased. Me'avos Lebanon, dor achar dor. From generation to generation, one after the other. But on the other hand, writes the Tzitz Eliezer, this is critical. Such a prohibition of not going to Spain is not written down anywhere. Many academics and scholars have spent time trying to uncover what's the source. The katzra yadam yila hasig, and their hands come up short. And then the Tzitz Eliezer quotes some famous historical books written by Rabbanim. Before he does that, he notes that Abravanel, who was an advisor to Ferdinand and Isabel, who tried as he might to stop the edict, wasn't successful. And the Rabino writes at great length in his commentary, specifically on Navi, about his experiences through this galus. Not once does the Abravanel make reference to any type of gezeirah. And then he quotes from a well-known svarim that include halacha Through the historical perspective, such as Shevet Yehuda, Sefer HaDoros, Sefer Yochsin, Shalshalas HaKabbalah, none of these svarim record any gezeira, any chayra not to travel to Spain. So what do you do with that? On the one hand, you have a poll, you have a rumor, but in a positive sense, right? There's a mesorah that we have not to travel to Spain. On the other hand, there is no text that affirms such a prohibition. So the Tzitz Eliezer says he believes that you should nonetheless listen to the mesorah. He writes in source 9, paragraph 3, "Aval acharei shuv nichamti, hichoshashani me'od misham minhag Yisrael Torah." He writes, "I'm very concerned about this issue because minhag Yisrael, if this is the Jewish custom Torah, the kol hamon shehu kikol shakai, and the sound of the people is like the sound of God, and the people are telling us that we don't travel to Spain, that we don't travel to Spain." That was the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, and he says, "I've corroborated this with the Rishon Lezion of Ben Sion Uziel in the last paragraph, who himself believes that that's the case. He acknowledges that there's no source, right?" He writes, "Hishiv li she'amnam inchum makor l'kafra." Ben Sion Uziel says there's no source. "Aval yadua hanu she'kach mikupa l'adavar." But it's well known that this is the accepted practice. Now, not everybody agrees to this. I'll share with you one little news clipping from the JTA Daily News Bulletin, December 16th, 1977. Let's read it together. Tel Aviv, December 15th. "Sephardic Chief Rabbi Ovadia Yosef is leaving soon for Spain to attend the dedication of the first Jewish school in Madrid, the first such school in Spain since the expulsion of the Jews from Spain by the Inquisition in 1492. Israeli religious circles are attaching great significance to Yosef's visit to Spain, as it would mean the annulment of the Cherem Dirabana, the boycott of Spain, declared by the rabbis of the Inquisition area. There are some 9,000 Jews presently in Spain. 3,000 of them are in Madrid." So you see, Rav Ovadia Yosef disagrees with Ben Sion Lezion, with the Rishon Lezion. Rav Ovadia Yosef has a tshuva about this in Yabia Omer. And he basically says in Rav Ovadia Yosef's classical style, by quoting every topic, you know, every tshuva sefer in the books, and he says, "B'chol zot, there is no prohibition of going to Spain. There is no chayram." And he says, "I went and I gave the Dvar Torah at the opening of the school in Madrid. And I was honored by the king of Madrid, the king of Spain, rather, in Madrid. I was given a token, a memento of the trip. And I said," and he says, "I brought great honor to the Jews living there, that they felt so validated by my presence and by the honor that I received." So it's not so passionate. So you see here two very distinct precedents in terms of travel bans in halacha. We have the Torah telling us not to go back to Egypt. We have the Mesorah not to go back to Spain. So now the question is, how do we respond to the suggested cherem of going back to Germany? What should Meshulam Roth and Kol Mevaser, what should he write? Should we say no Jews should be in Germany? Or do we say, no, we can't make such a cherem, based on the historical precedent that we saw with Mitzrayim and Sepharad? Any suggestions? Okay, don't all jump in at once. It's okay, I know how it goes on Zoom. I've been doing this for a long time already. No problem. Okay, so comes along with Meshulam Roth, and he has a very interesting tshuva. He says like this. He says as follows. Amnon, in source 12, "Mitzad ha'ashkafa ha'politit," from the political perspective, "ahegionot v'hamisorit sodeket ma'od hatza'azu," from the political perspective, from the rational perspective, such a ban makes a lot of sense. "V'ein shum safek," there is no doubt, "shela'achar ma'asei hazva'ot v'hashma'adot sha'alulanu ha'germanim ba'achrazios no'ra'a shelo'haysa kamos aninos olam," after what the Germans did to us, there's no parallel to the type of cruelty, "gam b'lo hachrazas harabanim," without the rabbis announcing it, "kol Yehudi yimna atzmo," every Jew should hold himself back, V'hi libo nokfo, and his heart should at least doubt. Milahatzig kaf raglo al admas hatmea, to put his soul on its blood-drenched earth. So Rav Meshulam Roth says, from a political, emotional, national perspective, no Jew should return to Germany. Now remember, he's writing this mamish in the shadows of the war, right? And he's writing this in the 50s. So I don't know exactly the date. But it was in the 1950s. Rav Meshulam Roth died in 1963. So the Holocaust loomed large. So he's saying it's terrible to go. Aval, paragraph 2, b'chozos ani motza choba lahir bazev, I still find my halachic obligation to let you know. Yachrazas chirem shel harabanim kifi shehutza, the chirem that is being suggested by the rabbanim, eina nechona, it's not correct. And he gives two very compelling reasons why it's not correct. So number one, writes Rav Meshulam Roth in Kol Mevaser, that we do not have a power anymore to enact gezeros. He writes, Reishis Davar, number one, Ein kochenu yafeh bedur zeh lahachriz alcherem. We don't have permission anymore to announce any enactments. We have no power, says Rav Meshulam Roth, to enact decrees that are binding on everyone. And he quotes some from Rashi and other Rishonim that make it clear that since the Siyum HaTalmud, we don't have such a koach. He says, the Jewish people, we have to follow what it says in the Gemara. The Bavli, that's our binding source. You could extend that even to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but beyond that, we don't have the koach. That's number one. And he points out that even from Rabbeinu Gershom, who made his takanas in around the year 1000, not every community buys into those takanas. The overwhelming majority do, but certain communities don't. Because even the great Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola did not have authority to make a gezeira that was binding on all of Klal Yisrael. And number two, his second point, which I think is even more compelling, having seen the sources that we looked at, he writes, Tam Sheni Yesh B'Minias Gezeros, Cherem Zemitzad Hadin. There's another very fundamental reason. Says the Kol Mevaser, the halacha is, Shein Gozrin Gezera Al Hatzibor, Ela Im Kein Rov Hatzibor Yachul Amunba. We only make decrees if they will be followed. And here Rav Meshulam Roth draws upon what we talked about. We only make decrees when there will be followed through. Says Rav Meshulam Roth, the Eibishter made a decree by Mitzrayim. Did anybody listen? There have been communities in Egypt for centuries. The Rambam lived in Mitzrayim. It wasn't followed for one reason or another. He says the Gezeira regarding Sepharad is not written down anywhere. It's not a legitimate decree. So suddenly we in the 1950s, we're going to make a decree. It's not going to be followed. And gezeros that are made can only be instituted even if we had the power, if it was a gezeros yachol atzibur lamoba. And this would not be. And so Rav Meshulam Roth says, even though emotionally and intellectually, he feels that a gezera might be kedai, but practically, based on what we studied together, he thinks it's not correct. Beyond the purview of the Rabbanim, because it's already after the Siyum HaTalmud, and on top of that, it just won't work. And as such, no decree ever took off. Just the opposite. There are many, many people, forget about the communities that are being built up in Germany. I gave this shiur in a longer fashion. I'll be finishing very shortly, but I gave this shiur to my shul earlier this week. And one of my balabatim texted me afterwards, and she wrote to me. She said, my most recent trip to Berlin was most amazing. Seeing the many Holocaust exhibits, which I never knew existed, was unbelievable. The thriving young community, which is Orthodox, was something I never heard of. It was truly a valuable educational experience. So clearly, Jews are going back to Germany. But I think there is something meaningful to glean from the fact that we go back. The Torah tells us, Zechor Yimos Olam, Binu Shinos Dor Vador. There is a need to understand our history, And certainly those that go back to visit the camps to see firsthand, you can understand why Eino Doma Shmia L'Ri'iya, that going and seeing can be such a powerful experience, but to walk in the footsteps of those who suffered beyond imagination. But I also think that going back, and I believe ultimately it's a personal decision, but going back from a point of strength, you know, represents the nitzchias of Am Yisrael. Back in 2003, I'm sure some of you will remember, the Israeli Air Force flew over Auschwitz. And the pilots were all descendants of Holocaust survivors. And that moment of pride for Am Yisrael, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, V'Zichram, they're gone. I mean, unfortunately, there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism. But Nazism, it's gone. And Am Yisrael Chai. So that sense of nitzchias is something that emerges from being able to go back from a place of strength. I think that it's like an interesting hashkafa just to consider. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that everybody should go back. I think ultimately it remains a personal decision. There is no clear halacha. But for those that do go back, and specifically those that visit to learn and to experience what happened earlier, Binu Shinoz Dor Vador, you know, you go back on the shoulders of Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, that is so powerful. Because ultimately what Yom HaShoah is about, in my opinion, is not only to recall the atrocities, but it is also to recall the resilience of the Jewish people. The fact that we are here today and with the Ribbono Shel Olam's help, we are thriving. Doesn't mean there are no issues, there are lots of issues. But the fact that we are thriving represents the nitzchias of the Jewish people. And I'll just close with a popular quote, one that I'm very fond of, that was written by Mark Twain, who was no lover of the Jew. But in 1899, he wrote something which I think just really encapsulates the strength of Am Yisrael that we celebrate in a way on Yom HaShoah. He writes as follows regarding the Jew. He has made a marvelous fight in this world, in all the ages, and has done it with his hands tied behind him. He could be vain of himself and be excused for it. The Egyptians, the Babylonian, and the Persians rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they're gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? And that's a message that we take with us whenever we recall the sorrows that the Jewish people have had to endure, but it ultimately is with a sense of nitzchias that we are able to celebrate because we are Am HaNivchar, and we are Baruch Hashem, a nation that is forever eternal. So I hope my words of halacha and hashkafa resonated. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions, but I want to honor the time frame that I was given. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. Otherwise, again, I wish everybody a yashikar. Is a night.